You're listening to SBS News.
Australia is facing criticism from some for abstaining from voting on a United Nations resolution to end the Israeli occupation of the Palestinian territories within 12 months. The non-binding vote passed the UN General Assembly, with 142 nations voting in favour, 12 voting against and 43 abstaining. The federal opposition says Australia should have opposed the resolution, and that view is shared by the Executive Council of Australian Jewry, while the Greens say Australia should have voted in favour. Izzat Abdul Hadi is head of the General Delegation of Palestine to Australia, New Zealand and the Pacific. He spoke with SBS Chief Political Correspondent Anna Henderson.
This is very good news for the Palestinian people. It's a turning point for our own struggle for freedom and liberation. We enjoyed very good support from the international community. The members of General Assembly, more than 124 countries, support the self-determination of the Palestinian people and ending the Israeli occupation in 6 months.
So Australia was among those that abstained on this vote. What's your view of that? Were you disappointed?
Actually, I have very useful discussion yesterday with the foreign minister when she kindly informed me about the position of Australia to abstain. And we did not have a sort of in-depth discussion about the reasons, actually. But, of course, Australia is an independent country, and, of course, they can take decisions based on their own national interest. But our own representative in New York were engaged in robust, bold negotiations with different countries to encourage them and urge them to support this important, very important resolution, actually. And based on my own understanding, that we've changed and modified the version several times to respond to these concerns. So if Australia has some concerns, I think we effectively responded maybe to some of it, because we can't also compromise the substance and essence of the of this resolution, especially that it's a reflection, translation of the International Court of Justice advisory opinion.
So Australia says there were certain points it was trying to find compromise on and wasn't able to. What were those points?
Actually, as I mentioned before, I mean, I don't know exactly what are their points. I think it's just an assumption that this decision in the resolution in the United Nations General Assembly put some responsibilities on the countries to take actions, not to provide assistance to Israeli occupation, to a sustainable Israeli occupation. And also one of these concerns by other countries, maybe Australia one of them, is that the language of the resolution not necessarily compatible with the essence and language of the International Court of Justice opinion, advisory opinion. Actually, we did our best to respond, but the resolution and the ICJ opinion, advisory opinion, has two components. One is to the impact of prolonged occupation on the Palestinian people, but the other one is responsibilities of the international community to respond to this, to end the Israeli occupation, to seize settlements, you know, and of course to repeal the any kind of racist legislation in the occupied Palestinian territories. So it's not just to a sort of intellectual exercise to diagnose the problem there or the occupation characteristics in Palestine, but also there is certain responsibilities, including sanctions on Israel to end its own occupation.
Some of the Israeli lobby groups here in Australia say that this resolution will only seek to embolden other countries in attacking Israel and extend a period of conflict. What do you say to that?
I don't agree with this at all. I think we believe strongly in the international law. Australia believes strongly in international law. Australia took a lot of steps, I mean, in the past to support the Palestinian rights, including reversing, you know, with Jerusalem as capital of Israel, resuming funding to UNRWA, as, I mean, the Australian representative in United Nations mentioned, you know, which we really appreciated very much. And the issue is to stick firmly to international law, because this is the terms of reference for our own struggle. And also this is terms should be, must be, the terms of reference for all the membership or the members in the General Assembly. And Australia, one of those countries. So we will not, I mean, subjected to bullying, you know, and distortion of facts in the General Assembly, because the International Court of Justice opinion was very clear that Israel should end its occupation immediately.
Just in terms of what else Australia can do, we are expecting an announcement of more humanitarian support, but what should that look like from your view, and what else should Australia be doing?
I mean, also we are encouraged by this the forthcoming announcement. I think next week maybe Australia will also announce another funding humanitarian assistance to Palestinian people. I'd like also to seize this opportunity to thank the Australian government and Australian people, civil society in Australia, for their own support, humanitarian support to our own Palestinian people in Gaza. And you know, in Gaza it's catastrophic. Now Israeli control the Rafah crossing, so the, you know, humanitarian conveys are really restricted, I mean, totally. So any support, humanitarian support from Australia will be highly appreciated. I don't know about, you know, the amount of money, whatever, but I think if Australia could give as much as they can to support our own people in Gaza, which is tragic, catastrophic situation now in Gaza, unfortunately. And I hope that this will respond to the huge needs of the Palestinian people in Gaza now.
What are the other actions you would like the Australian government to take beyond that humanitarian assistance?
Actually, I was encouraged also by the statement of the Senator Wong that for the last 5 years there were no export arms to Israel, you know. And this is a very important issue. But I hope that Australia will continue supporting our resolutions now in the United Nations, because we have other resolution to be presented to the General Assembly. So Australia changed its own voting patterns, I mean, in the last 2 years. And I hope that they will continue this process by supporting international law and supporting international humanitarian law. Also, I think, although it's micro issue, but I would like to see Australia or support the new arrivals coming from Gaza, and also to bring their own relatives, spouses, whatever, to Australia, and also to support, you know, the students, those arrival, I mean, to settle down peacefully in Australia.
In terms of the number of people, we know that it's very difficult to get out of Gaza at the moment, but how many Palestinians do you think Australia should be welcoming in and supporting?
You know, already, I mean, Australia issued visas for 3,000 people who are arrived only 1,400. So still there is another 1,400 people to come. And I hope that Australia will validate and activate their own visas, so they will be able to come to join their own families here. So, I mean, as you know, I don't know if you received our own fact sheet in which we clarified that those who's coming are assets for Australia, not liability, because most of them are professionals. And I hope that Australia will also support them to find jobs, to change their own visa types, because tourist visa is for them is very difficult to find job. So I think the government is working on this. I really appreciate, like, the Minister of Home Affairs, you know, Tony Berg, tried to facilitate a process to support those, you know, arrivals, and also also the Ministry of Education, because, which I talked to him about, you know, accepting students in the public schools and also in universities.
What about humanitarian visas? Would you want to see the visitor visas turned into humanitarian visas, and that being offered to people fleeing this conflict?
I'm, of course, interested of the well-being of those arrivals. So if there is, like, a new type of visa, like, I mean, what happened to Ukraine, as an example, Ukrainians, when they come here, because now hearing that there will be a reconsideration of their own visa types, certain type of visa to those. The most important thing for them is to settle down peacefully, to find jobs, to enroll in governments and schools, and find a bright future in Australia. They, you know, it's very difficult for them to return back now. And unfortunately now, some of these applications for spouses or even for relatives is rejected, you know, because under the reason that those who will come here will not go back to Gaza. Of course, these people love their own country and they want really to have a life in Gaza. But we need like years now to reconstruct Gaza and for those to go and have a house there. It's, I mean, as you know, 70-80% of the house is totally, you know, dismantled in Gaza by the Israeli occupation.